Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be looking at a pretty specific moment in history, but also a really big question, I think.
Okay.
How World War II?
Yeah.
A conflict that, you know, you think of as being oceans away and Europe in the Pacific.
Right.
How that really shaped India's long fight for independence.
Yeah.
So
it's fascinating.
We've got a whole bunch of sources for this one.
Okay.
We've got historical accounts. We've got personal stories. We've even got some economic data.
Nice.
It's going to be like piecing together this giant puzzle to see how kind of a global war and this local fight for freedom really intertwined and how they affected each other.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is that even before the war, India was already kind of a pressure cooker of resistance against British rule.
Oh, for sure.
Like for centuries.
Yeah.
You had everything from armed rebellions, like huge uprisings, to non-violent protests, to these intellectual movements all pushing back against the East India Company and its influence.
And it's not like, you know, World War II started and suddenly everyone was like, wait a minute, we want to be independent.
Exactly. Yeah.
It had been brewing for so long.
It had been brewing.
I think for a lot of listeners, maybe the Sepoy Mutiny of 1857 is a good place to kind of jump off from.
Absolutely. That's
that was a moment that
really turning point.
Really shook things up.
Yeah. The Sepoys.
Yeah.
Indian soldiers serving under British command revolted.
Whoa.
Think about it.
Yeah.
The very troops that were meant to enforce British control.
Yeah.
They turn against their officers.
That's wild.
And this rebellion spread so rapidly.
Wow.
It revealed these deep cracks in the foundation of British power.
And we've got a source on this, The Last Mogul.
Oh, yeah.
By William Dalrymple, that really captures just how intense that event was.
Right. It wasn't just a military clash.
No.
It was a clash of ideologies about who had the right to rule.
Yeah.
And the British response, really telling.
What'd they do?
Well, in 1858, they completely dissolved the East India Company.
What?
Yeah. And they transfer power directly to the British Crown.
Wow.
So it's almost like they realized that the company's grip was slipping and they needed to come in and tighten control.
Take over themselves.
Yeah. This marked the beginning of the British Raj. But instead of like calming things down, direct British rule seemed to actually make things worse.
So you have this already tense situation, this backdrop.
Right.
And then boom, 1939.
World War II.
World War II explodes onto the scene.
Yeah.
So how did a war primarily in Europe directly impact things in India?
Well, Britain really suddenly needed India's support.
Oh, yeah.
And not just resources, but like manpower, too.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they were facing Nazi Germany, this formidable enemy. And to try to secure that support, they started making all these promises about greater autonomy for India.
After the war.
After the war.
But isn't there this like huge irony?
Absolutely.
Here's Britain.
Yeah.
Fighting for freedom and democracy in Europe.
Right.
But simultaneously denying those very things to their Indian subjects.
Precisely that hypocrisy became so hard to justify.
Yeah.
Take, for instance, the Cripps Mission in 1942.
Okay.
The British offered India something called Dominion status.
Dominion status.
After the war.
Okay.
It sounded promising at the time, but a lot of Indian leaders saw right through it.
And that's where we get that famous Gandhi quote.
Oh, yeah.
Comparing it to a post-dated check on a failing bank.
Right. He saw the offer as totally empty.
Totally empty.
Especially given...
Especially given Churchill.
Churchill was so ardently opposed to dissolving the empire.
He did not want to let go of India.
Not at all.
Yeah. And it's a perfect analogy, I think, because it's not just about the legal status. It's about the trust.
The trust.
Or the lack thereof.
Exactly.
But beyond even like the political stuff.
Uh-huh.
You can't ignore the economic impact of the war on India.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't just about ideals. It was about people's livelihoods.
Yeah. An Economic History of India by Dietmar Rothermund really lays out some of these realities.
Yeah.
Wartime inflation.
Uh-huh.
Plus all these policies that often prioritized British interests over Indian ones caused widespread suffering.
Wow.
Imagine even in the 1920s
okay.
when the British government was trying to like
Yeah.
keep inflation down.
Right.
Prices in India continued to climb.
Wow.
And then you had these severe droughts in the 1980s causing even more inflation and hardship.
So you've got this resentment.
Yes.
That's just brewing against British rule.
Right.
And it's fueled by both of these things.
Yeah. The political maneuvering.
Yeah.
And the economic hardship.
And then on top of all of that,
right,
you see political organizations within India starting to gain traction.
Exactly. The Indian National Congress was already a major player advocating for self-rule. But then you also have the rise of the Muslim League.
Okay.
Which the Making of India details. They issued a resolution in 1940 calling for a separate Muslim state.
Wow.
What would eventually become Pakistan.
Right.
And this just shows how much the war, with all of its pressures, was changing things inside of India.
It's important to remember, too, that, like, India is not alone in this.
No.
Right? World War II is shaking the foundations of European colonialism.
Yes.
All over the world.
Weakened by the war.
Yeah.
European powers faced mounting pressure from all these colonies.
Everywhere.
For independence, and India was part of this wave.
It's like World War II created this perfect storm.
It did.
Right? Where? Nationalism is surging.
Mm-hmm.
There's economic instability.
Right, right.
And the global power dynamic is totally shifting.
It's all changing.
So we've set the stage now.
Okay.
We've got the pre-war tensions, the war's impact, the rise of all these political movements.
Yeah.
Now let's get into how some of the key figures in this story navigated this really turbulent period.
This is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Think about Gandhi.
Yeah.
This leader who championed nonviolent resistance.
Yeah.
His philosophy is described really well in Swami Krishnananda, A Short History of Religious and Philosophic Thought in India.
Okay.
And it was powerful.
Yeah.
Imagine leading a movement for freedom.
Yeah.
Without resorting to violence.
Yeah.
Even in the face of oppression.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
It's really powerful.
Yeah.
It's a testament to his unwavering belief in peaceful resistance.
Yes, it really is. And that philosophy, like, resonated with millions of Indians.
It's almost paradoxical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like this commitment to nonviolence.
Right.
In a world consumed by violence.
In the middle of a world war.
Yeah, it's a powerful counterpoint.
Yeah.
And then alongside Gandhi, you have figures like Jawaharlal Nehru.
Oh, yeah.
Who brings a different approach.
Right. He's much more politically minded.
Yeah. Much more like pragmatic.
Yeah.
Like strategic.
Yeah. He saw the need for like internal unity, but also like strategic engagement with the international forces.
Like he's working all the angles.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes those two approaches clash.
You did sometimes. Yeah.
But together, they presented this really united front.
Yeah.
Against British rule.
Right. It showed the complexity of the movement.
For sure.
All these different ideologies and strategies.
Okay. So we've talked about the big picture. The global war, the economic pressures, the rising nationalism.
Yeah.
But I want to know about some of the specific turning points.
Okay.
Like, were there events that you think really sped things up?
Well, there's the Cripps Mission that we talked about, which kind of highlighted that growing rift between Britain and India, but maybe even bigger, was the impact of the Atlantic Charter.
The Atlantic Charter.
In 1941.
Okay, so this is a document
focused
on Europe.
Right. Primarily, it was about outlining Allied goals for post-war Europe. But it had this ripple effect.
Okay. How did that happen?
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because the charter championed these principles, like self-determination for all peoples.
Okay.
And the right of nations to choose their own government.
So obviously this was mainly intended for Europe.
Right. For nations under Nazi occupation.
But those ideas, they resonated.
They did.
Beyond Europe.
Far beyond.
So even though it wasn't explicitly about India.
Yeah.
It still created this pressure on Britain.
Oh, this moral pressure.
Yeah.
Like, how can you justify holding on to a colony when you're saying that?
When this is what you're fighting for.
Exactly. And remember, this isn't just an abstract debate.
No.
Indian soldiers were fighting and dying for Britain.
In this war.
In this war.
Wow.
Fighting for freedom abroad while being denied at home.
That's heavy.
It is. It's a contradiction you can't ignore.
I wonder how those soldiers felt.
It must have been so complicated.
Like fighting for someone else's freedom.
Right.
While yours is being denied.
Yeah. A mix of emotions for sure.
And this is all happening as the war is coming to a close.
Right. As it's dragging on.
Yeah.
It's clear the old world order, the one built on empires.
Uh-huh.
It's crumbling.
Yeah.
India's ready for independence. And the world's starting to realize it.
But achieving independence was not a smooth process. There's internal divisions,
right.
political complexities,
mm-hmm.
and of course there's the question of partition.
Yeah.
How do these factors play out in those final years?
Okay, well, the Muslim League,
yeah.
who we talked about advocating for that separate state,
yeah.
they gained so much momentum during the war.
When?
Their demand for Pakistan
Uh-huh.
that they had articulated back in 1940.
Right.
It wasn't just an idea anymore.
It was becoming real.
It was becoming real.
So as British withdrawal is becoming more and more likely,
right.
the question of what a free India looks like
yeah.
becomes super urgent.
It does.
Were there any attempts to find a solution
oh, yeah.
that would keep the country unified?
Absolutely. There were all these proposals and
right.
negotiations trying to accommodate
yeah.
both the aspirations for a united India
okay.
and the demands for a separate Muslim state.
Great.
Gandhi, in particular,
Ah.
was vehemently opposed to partition.
Okay.
He believed in this united and diverse India.
Okay.
But the political realities
yeah.
were shifting.
It must have been such a tense period.
Oh, yeah.
All those anxieties and uncertainties.
Absolutely.
And not just about the politics, but people's lives.
Right. Where do I belong?
Yeah. What does the future hold?
Yeah. And those anxieties were made worse by rising tensions
mm-hmm.
between Hindus and Muslims,
yeah.
which were fueled in part
yeah.
by the political maneuvering and anxieties.
Just like this volatile mix.
It was.
And as we know,
yeah.
it eventually erupts in violence.
It does.
And this is where the story takes a really dark turn.
Yes.
The partition,
yeah.
while marking the end of British rule,
huh?
was incredibly traumatic.
It was.
Leading to this massive migration.
One of the largest in human history.
Wow.
Accompanied by violence
yeah.
and displacement.
It's the stark reminder
it is.
That even achieving a long-fought goal like independence
mm-hmm.
can come at a very heavy price.
It can.
And the scars of that event
yeah.
are still felt.
To this day,
yeah.
physical and emotional scars.
But amid all the upheaval,
yeah.
it's important to remember that for so many, independence represented
this moment of hope.
Yeah, this chance to finally
yeah.
forge their own destiny.
Yeah.
It's such a complex legacy.
It is.
Triumph and tragedy
yeah. uh-huh.
and the quest for self-determination.
Yeah.
So as we're getting to the end of this deep dive,
yep.
I want to know, like, what are your final thoughts
okay.
on how World War II shaped India's path?
Yeah.
What should listeners take away from this story?
Well, for me,
yeah.
it really highlights just how interconnected global events are.
Mm-hmm.
Like a war fought primarily in Europe has this profound impact
yeah.
on a nation thousands of miles away.
It's amazing.
It shows how even in the middle of global conflict,
yeah.
the desire for freedom and self-rule
yeah.
can be such a powerful force
yeah.
for change.
And it reminds us that history is rarely neat and tidy.
Oh, no.
It's full of contradictions and complexities.
Absolutely.
The fight for Indian independence wasn't just about
right.
yeah, slogans and speeches.
It was about people.
It was about people's lives.
Yeah, their aspirations,
oh, yeah.
their struggles,
yes.
their sacrifices.
Exactly. And those stories,
yeah.
those individual experiences
yeah.
are just as important
absolutely.
As the big narratives.
Yeah, they remind us that even in the midst of all this
yeah.
upheaval, human
yeah.
resilience and
yeah.
the pursuit of a better future can prevail.
That's a good note to end on.
But this isn't just a story about the past.
Right.
The legacy of this period of colonialism, partition, the birth of these two nations,
yeah, yeah.
it continues to shape the subcontinent.
In really profound ways.
It does.
So as we conclude
okay.
this deep dive, I want to leave you with a thought.
Okay.
Knowing how World War II,
yeah.
this seemingly distant conflict,
yeah.
had such a profound impact, how does this change the way you view
yeah.
other independence movements?
Ooh, that's good.
Around the world.
Yeah.
What connections can you draw?
Yeah.
What lessons can we learn
yeah.
from this really complex
absolutely.
And often turbulent
yes.
chapter in history?
And remember,
yeah.
the quest for understanding never really ends.
It does.
There's always more to explore.
For sure.
More perspectives to consider.
Oh.
More depths to dive into.
So keep questioning.
Yeah.
Keep exploring.
Be diving deep.
And we'll be right here with you.
Yes.
Ready to take on the next deep dive.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is amazing to think about how a war, like, you know, primarily fought over there in Europe, could have such a big impact
all
the way across the globe. And, you know, as we wrap up this whole deep dive into this period, I just keep thinking about these unintended consequences.
Right.
You know, like, here's Britain. They're fighting against fascism. And they're kind of accidentally fueling the very movement that's going to dismantle their empire.
It's like this historical boomerang.
Right.
Yeah, history rarely follows a straight path.
No.
There's always these twists and turns and chain reactions that just reshape the world.
In ways you don't expect.
In these crazy ways.
And I think this story also shows the power of ideas.
Oh, yeah.
The Atlantic Charter.
Uh-huh.
Even though it wasn't talking about India directly.
Right.
It provided this, like, moral framework.
Yeah.
That really resonated.
It resonated.
With those fighting for their own independence.
Yeah, it's almost like those words, those principles about self-determination and freedom, they traveled across oceans and continents and breathed new life into movements.
That were already happening.
They were already there.
Yeah, and you can see that same dynamic in other parts of the world, too.
It's all over the place.
Like, after the war, there's this wave of decolonization. Empires are weakening.
Yeah, they're exhausted.
And people are saying,
"You want our freedom.
We want to rule ourselves."
Yeah, it's a reminder that even in dark times, ideas can be such a powerful force for change.
They can be.
Yeah.
But we have to acknowledge that freedom, as we saw in India, doesn't come without sacrifice.
Absolutely.
The partition, while it marked the end of British rule, it also brought so much suffering.
So much suffering.
And displacement.
It's a reminder that the transition to independence is rarely smooth or easy.
Right.
There are always these really tough choices.
Yeah.
And the legacies of colonialism, as we see in India and Pakistan today, can be really, really long-lasting.
And difficult to grapple with.
They're difficult to deal with.
So as we wrap up, I think it's important to consider how this period in history still resonates today.
Right.
Like, what lessons can we learn?
Yeah, what can we take away?
From India's fight. And how does this help us understand the world we live in right now?
Well, I think it reminds us that even conflicts that seem really distant can have these huge impacts.
Yeah.
The decisions made in one part of the world can create ripples that we might not even see coming.
Lovely.
And I think it also shows us how important it is to listen to diverse perspectives, to understand the history of different regions, and to really appreciate how complex global politics really are.
It's all about connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Right?
Seeing the links.
Seeing those threads that connect everything.
That run through time and space.
And sometimes, like we saw in this deep dive, the most insightful things come from looking at the unintended consequences, the unexpected turns, the moments where history takes this really sharp turn.
Absolutely.
That you just didn't see coming.
So keep questioning.
Keep questioning.
Keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Keep diving deep.
Keep diving deep.
The search for understanding never really ends.
It doesn't.
No.
And we'll be right here with you.
We will.
Ready to take on the next deep dive.
Another adventure.
Thanks for joining us.